Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
One of the big stories that I got to get to here later this morning, maybe later this hour, we'll see. But yeah, we definitely got to talk about this one. The liberal media, here they go again. Here we go. Already they're pushing out their pro-illegal alien talking points. They're providing cover for the Mexican drug cartels, and they're pumping out just the absurd storylines. How many times did we see some tribal leaders actually speak out and criticize people like Liberal Senator John Tester for not providing federal law enforcement for our reservations? How many times did we see tribal leaders actually call out and say, hey, our people are being targeted by the Mexican drug cartels? They're targeting entire generations. They're targeting our young people. They're killing people on our reservations in Montana. And you remember how the liberal media in Montana, they would either ignore those stories outright or they would downplay the stories. They were downplaying the illegal aliens and the drug cartels for the entirety of the Biden administration. But now that Donald Trump is getting to work and delivering for the American people, and Tom Homan is delivering for the American people, and they've already deported, they've already rounded up 1,000 illegal aliens, and then they just busted up this massive Trende Aragua party down in Colorado. 50 illegal aliens loaded onto one bus alone. Look at how the liberal media is trying to run cover for the cartels and the TDA operatives and others who have been targeting Native Americans. Senator Tim Sheehy said this over the weekend. Recent reports that members of tribal nations are being targeted for deportation as part of the Trump administration's efforts to secure our border are false, misleading, and only serve to create unnecessary chaos. President Trump has announced no plans to deport Native Americans. And, you know, I had already sent out a tweet. I was like, oh, yeah, here we go. I sent this out over the weekend. I said, oh, yeah, here we go. Here we go. You know, when there were reports of when the cartels were killing people on the reservations and tribal leaders here in Montana spoke out, the media downplayed or ignored it. Now they scream, people are scared. They'll be deported. They're claiming, oh, Native Americans in Montana are scared they'll be deported. So we know that drug cartel operatives have been embedding themselves into, you know, families on these reservations. So if you're scared of the federal government coming in and deporting drug cartel operatives, Might be a tip here, huh? But yeah, so predictable with the liberal media. I think Montana Senator Steve Daines also weighed in on X. Let me see here. I just retweeted this one. I thought I already had over the weekend. Yeah, he says this. False news reports that the Trump administration is targeting Montana tribes for deportation are absurd. President Trump is not deporting Native Americans. But look at how the liberal media just runs with that. Just insanity.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-30s across the Bozeman area to around 40 in the Billings vicinity. For tonight, with clear skies, temperatures falling off in the mid-teens in Bozeman, low 20s in Billings. And then the outlook for Tuesday calls for more sunshine with high temperature readings from the upper 30s to the mid-40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
It's January 27th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Chocolate Cake Day. Do we need to say anything else? The earliest known chocolate cake recipe was published in 1847 by Philadelphia cookbook author Eliza Leslie. Unlike modern recipes which use cocoa powder, her recipe called for chopped chocolate to be used in the batter. Whether homemade or store-bought, you can't go wrong with a big slice of chocolate cake and a tall glass of cold milk. Also on this date, in 1880, Thomas Edison patents the light bulb, known then as the incandescent lamp.
Well, since my baby left me, will I find a new
and Elvis Presley's Heartbreak Hotel was released in 1956. It would go on to become the King's first million-selling single. If it's your birthday today, you share it with composer Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, born in 1756, and the captain of the Titanic, Edward Smith, born in 1850. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious. Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it here. We've got Evelyn Pyburn with us from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, what a week. So much good news to talk about, isn't there?
Yeah. Yes, it's kind of overwhelming. I mean, there is really, it's coming at us, I think, from every direction, but you know, especially in the business world, the good news is just permeating the entire national mood, especially, you know, for business people, because they see a brighter future. The latest Small Business Optimism Index that's put out by the National Federation of Independent Business, they say that owners expecting the economy to improve has risen 16 points to 52%, the highest it's been since 1983, and that's 42 years ago. So that's a huge jump. That, 42 years is a long time to be kind of pessimistic, but the percent of business owners believe it is a good time to expand their business. They are especially positive in Montana. And, of course, the attitude of these people is really important because they are the ones making the decisions about expanding their businesses, investing and hiring. And when they are happy, it is good for all of us. And in that report, the owners expecting higher sales volumes in this year rose 8 points to 22%, and 6% of owners plan inventory investment in the coming months, and that's up 5 points from November. So business people are happy out there, and that is a good omen for all of us.
Yeah, it's amazing how those numbers just continue to climb. I mean, they started climbing after President Trump was elected and Republicans took back control of the Senate in November. But yeah, as you report today, these are newer numbers even showing the optimism index. And I've talked to so many people over the course of the last week, just random folks who are just like, it just feels like there's this weight being taken off our shoulders. And that's just everyday people, you know, some of whom aren't business owners that are feeling the weight being lifted off their shoulders. Imagine if you're somebody who's in business, who's had the weight of government, holding back your business or holding down your business or holding back consumers that supports your business.
Right. You know, and when I was looking through all of the news reports and stuff, I was just overwhelmed. I mean, the headlines, there's just one headline after another after another after another of really positive news that, you know, if you saw one headline once a month was a big deal before, but, you know, there was like 10 of them in a row, and it was really amazing. Another report that's good for Montana is the Montana Manufacturing Center reports that Montana's manufacturing sector saw their wages increase nearly $8,000 over the past year, and more than 5,099 manufacturing firms are in operation in Montana, and it accounts for about 17% of the Montana's base industry earnings, which is $12.3 billion. So manufacturing, which has had its periods of struggle in the past, seems to be on a really good rebound in Montana. So, and manufacturing is the basis of economic growth. So that's really good news, too.
Yeah, and we got to see a lot of those manufacturers last week in Las Vegas during this SHOT Show, the gun industry manufacturers, the outdoor industry manufacturers as well. You know, speaking of good news, it was so cool to be a part of that SHOT Show because, you know, you had the Montana Department of Commerce there promoting all these Montana businesses and then promoting some good, you know, gun manufacturers to set up their operations in Montana as well, just like how 1 year ago we got the news that Brixtal Defense was going to be setting up a shop in Glendive, Montana, that type of good manufacturing news. And, of course, they're now up and running, and I saw their CEO, Andy Mansour, down in Vegas for the SHOT Show once again. But it was just even cool. Even at our booth, we had a Tatanka cigar banner set up. We had the 82 Coffee Company out of Dillon, Montana set up. So and we were right outside of these, you know, million-dollar booths from some of the biggest names in the gun industry because we were on Media Row. So they were like front and center right there. And so it was so cool to see all these people, you know, drop by and say, ooh, Tatanka, what's that? And then, oh, 82 Coffee Company. I even had some people say, well, what's their story? What's the whole story there while we were off air? And so it's just so cool to be a part of promoting Montana businesses really on the world stage because people from all over the world were there at the SHOT Show in Vegas.
Yeah, and what's also really cool is a lot of them are locating their businesses in smaller towns in Montana, which really need a new economic base as agriculture kind of, well, it's agriculture is changing too, and it doesn't require quite as many people, and there's not quite as many jobs, and so these little towns, they need this economic base to continue to exist, and they provide better, lower cost housing and better cost of living for some of the employees of these new companies too.
That's right. So, and it gets more kids in those school classrooms, which means more kids to potentially play on your local sports team and so much more. And then of course school funding is based off of how many kids are actually sitting in those seats. So it has so many impacts. All right, hold that thought. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal joining us every Monday here at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. As we get back to business, we're going to get to Speaking Agriculture, your farm and ranch report, and then more with Evelyn right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Tariffs were used extensively when our country was young, when British manufactured goods dominated markets. There's little precedent for a modern, industrialized, large economy imposing tariffs on the scale envisioned by the Trump campaign. But the first Trump administration did raise tariffs, and the results were surprising to some. Appliance manufacturer Whirlpool's expectation that tariffs on imported washing machines will help its profits grow were dashed when they realized that those same tariffs pushed up prices for the steel they used at the domestic plants. It's the unintended consequences of tariffs, most of which are perfectly predictable, that have made a generation of economists stand firmly against their use. The fact that they lead to retaliation from those whose exports are affected. The fact that they're often passed along as price increases to consumers. The fact that they allow laggard, inefficient companies to remain in business when competition might have forced them to improve. Shall we learn those lessons again? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
Sea Strike. It's a new video made by the Navy, but it looks like something straight out of Hollywood.
Enemy forces remain unlocated. Projecting possible red positions.
How much time do we have left?
17 minutes.
Airborne lasers, talking drones. Sea Strike features a dizzying array of tech. The video says this is the possibility of the U.S. Navy in the year 2043.
We may not survive to get in range to launch cyber payload.
What if we modified one of your long-range weapons?
It would require modifying the front end and updating the software, but that could be done.
The Naval Information Warfare Center says the video is meant to showcase how emerging technologies may be incorporated at every level of the warfighting domain. They say it's about the future. You may say it's cool.
Auto launch and effect synchronization approved.
Weapons free.
Jill Nato, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
On Friday, a bullish January 1st cattle on feed report released by USDA. Data shows that on the first of the year, 11.8 million head of cattle were in feedlots, 1% below January 1st of 2024. As for placements of cattle into feedlots, that number 3% below last year at 1.64 million head. As for marketings of cattle, 1% above last year at 1.74 million head. That, of course, is highly bullish and adds on to the record-setting amounts of the cash cattle market seen this past week. Now, I know we don't talk a lot about the cash cattle markets on this report, but we saw the Northern Dress cattle last week $6 to $8 higher, while Southern Live Trade was $5 higher. That Live Trade marking $210 a hundredweight for fat cattle. Dressed and hanging on the rail, as I mentioned, $6 to $8 higher at $328 to $330. What is evident is the packers need cattle, and they are paying big dollars to acquire them. Speaking of livestock markets, a steady trend was seen at Dillon Livestock Auction last week with just under 1,000 head selling. 3 to 5 year old bred cows are priced at $26.50 all the way up to $3,175. I'm Wayne Northlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. During the break, I was like, I need to share some of our latest Montana Talks content, on social media. And so, Evelyn, I don't know if you're on social media or if you saw it. I've got the video on our Montana Talks website right now. But I actually got shot in Las Vegas. I got shot at the SHOT Show Friday morning in about the last 20 minutes of the show. And so, it's a simulator. It's like a virtual reality simulator to simulate your arm being completely immobilized by a gunshot. And then you have to figure out, okay, my right arm is out of commission. How do I shoot with my left arm now, right, amidst the shock of what just happened to my arm? And so, yeah, it was pretty crazy. He just surprised me with it live on the air. Kind of a funny video that's on our Montana Talks website right now. I think we got to bring that simulator down to the High Horse Saloon. I think Reed would get a kick out of that down there.
Yeah, a new twist on entertainment, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Just have people step up. You just one after the other just laugh as your friends get completely immobilized. But no, it was crazy and caught up with another guy. So that's AU Fire Training. It's featured on our Montana Talks website. And then I also got to catch up with a fellow, a veteran from Afghanistan. We served together over in Afghanistan. He just retired out of the Las Vegas Police Department. So it was fun seeing him. He's now got a, law enforcement training. And that was Friday in the 7 o'clock hour. So a ton of great conversations down there at the SHOT Show. What are you hearing on the energy front? President Trump declaring an energy emergency. You've got that in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet this morning. What are you hearing when it comes to, our friends in the energy industry here in Montana? Got to be a lot of enthusiasm there.
Well, I can't say that I encountered much specifically from Montana, but yeah, President Trump issuing the executive order that opens up the avenues for energy companies to just, well, like he said, drill, baby, drill. And I'm sure that it's impacting a lot of decisions that industry executives are making right now, and there's other decisions he's making that's going to have an effect. Like, you know, he's removed the restriction on tailpipes, which allows people to actually choose what kind of car they want to drive in the future. And I found that was interesting because the mandate for driving EVs was regulations on how much emissions, tailpipe emissions, were allowed. And he removed those restrictions. And then he's, you know, pushing back on the green energy, the green push for alternative energies that are being hugely, hugely subsidized. I get, don't even know how it's rational to consider some of those alternative energies as legitimate business investments because they get so much subsidy, and that doesn't, that's just not good for, you know, those alternatives, because, you know, it's, there's a lot of good ideas having alternative energies. You know, that's something that the future could very well use, but you're not going to develop them as rational, businesses that can be stand on their own if you have subsidies, because all that's going to happen is those businesses are going to push for more subsidies, and they're not going to make changes that make those subsidies go away. So improvements in the production and everything aren't going to happen. So they're just, these pushbacks by Trump are going to open up more avenues than people really realize, I think. And, there's just a lot of good things happening that the consequences of are yet to be seen.
And yeah, it's going to be amazing. Not only for alternatives, but for oil, gas, and coal. I listened on the way back from Vegas. I listened to a Jordan Peterson podcast with, you know, Alex Epstein. He's spoken several times before, or at least a couple of times, at the Montana Petroleum Association annual meeting. But Alex Epstein, fascinating conversation on this Jordan Peterson podcast. And he was, I wish I had written down the line. I knew I should have scribbled down some notes. But he had a great line where he was just talking about even these, you know, so-called, you know, woke climate activists in the tech space, Microsoft or whoever else. Now, I mean, these people are like crackheads. What do you got for me? I'll take whatever you got. When it comes to energy, they will take anything right now because of AI and because of the need for electricity and because of the new data centers that they're doing. They will take any electricity imaginable because the boom and the growth and the need for electricity is completely off the charts right now by some of the very same people who are trashing electric energy sources. All right, stand by 60 seconds. Break. We will open up the phone lines, anything and everything you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. You could even start calling in right now and be first in the queue if you want to, or you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app. All right, a couple more minutes here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Evelyn, you know, the air travel here in Montana, I think all the airports have been doing pretty well here of late. But Logan International Airport in Billings, I know they've been really trying to ramp up their ramp space and more because, you know, Bozeman's just been kicking everybody's butts when it comes to air travel. But now air travel is kind of booming out of Billings to where even their overflow parking lot got overflowed.
Yeah, apparently that's happening with greater frequency. And the news that came out in the last week or so is that the Logan International Airport had a banner year in 2024. They had almost 1 million passengers pass through their gates, according to Jeff Roach, who's the director of aviation and transit at the airport. And he spoke at a community breakfast a little over a week ago. And according to him, about 980,000 people were traveling through Billings in 2024, and the number of air travelers is not only a record, but it marks a full comeback from the plunge in air travel that occurred during COVID restrictions on travel. Another person speaking at that breakfast was Jay Richardson, who's an air service consultant. And he said that Billings has the second highest capacity in the state, and it is growing just as the city's population is growing. And he also said that Billings' strongest draw for attracting airlines is that Billings flyers are willing to pay more in airfare.
Now, don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. No, come on now. Because you could fly like halfway around the world out of most places, and then sometimes it costs you that much just to get to Denver, it seems.
Right.
And then go ahead.
To change that, just need to have more passengers flying. So.
That's right. And more airlines and things like that. So you got to kind of lure them in with that type of incentive, and then eventually create the supply that then lowers the prices. About 20 seconds is all we got left, but a lot of restaurants are closing. I've seen headlines out of Bozeman, a lot of headlines out of Billings. This is a national phenomena, you were telling me.
Well, yes, it seems like it. And I'm sure people have heard about some of the restaurants that have closed, and there are a lot of rumors about others that will be closing. But at the same time, there's rumors, there's been new restaurants open and they're doing well. And there's rumors that other restaurants are considering separate locations. So it's really a mixed bag. And I think that some of this is the fallout from COVID, when people being forced to stay home. And
inflation, too. Yeah, the inflation really just hammered people. And so, yeah, hopefully they can hang on till the Trump policies take effect.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
If you go to our Montana Talks website, I mentioned how we've got, you know, all of our coverage, all of our highlights, full audio with John Jackson, the Joker, and more, all the great guests that joined us on the show. You can see it all, MontanaTalks.com. If you click this headline, Day 3 SHOT Show, highlighting some incredible Montana businesses. And in that very article, if you haven't figured out where you can find our podcast audio, it's embedded in that article. So at the bottom of that article, not only will you see great photographs from the SHOT Show, you'll see the new modular pistol that Shield Arms in Big Fork, Montana, produced. Attorney General Austin Knutson was highlighting that one with us last week. And then what about that? What about this new grenade launcher that Mike Marino out of Helena, Montana, was telling us about? Yeah, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. You can see a photograph of that as well that they had featured at the SHOT Show in Vegas. So that's all there. Plus, if you want to watch the video of me getting shot with the shot simulator at the SHOT Show, that's its own headline and much more. Let's see. Oh, one other thing, I was going to bring this up. I meant to bring this up when Evelyn was with us. So in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here on this Monday, she's got a headline about President Trump declaring a national energy emergency in an executive order saying, quote, "We will drill, baby, drill." What about the Keystone XL pipeline? Remember, this pipeline would have first entered Montana in Phillips County, and then travel all the way down, you know, basically through Baker, through southeast Montana. And every county along its path would have gotten millions of dollars every single year just for having a pipe in the ground somewhere, or maybe above ground in some spots. But basically just for having there are pipelines everywhere across Montana. There's, you know, gas pipelines, there's water pipes, there's oil pipelines, there's pipelines everywhere. But this would be one more pipe in the ground. And we would have gotten, these were old numbers too. These numbers are probably, you know, almost 10 years old. We figured that it would bring in $65 to $100 million every single year. And then these counties could use that money for infrastructure, better roads, et cetera. But of course, we know what happened with the Keystone XL pipeline. The Democrats killed it. And even Democrats, like the former Democrat senator who claimed, who they'd always tell their supporters, oh, I support the Keystone XL pipeline, never went anywhere because they would tell you one thing and then they would do another thing back in Washington, D.C. That's what the Democrats always do. It's kind of like even this John Fetterman character out of Pennsylvania. Oh, he talked a big game. He made you think that he might vote for Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense. He pretended to be all commonsensical and moderate. No, he's just another phony wearing a Carhartt shirt. That's all it is. Because when it really came down to it, when push came to shove, he just followed the party line. So Fetterman's as phony as the rest of them. He just puts on a better show with his shorts and his sweatshirt at the inauguration. But what about the Keystone XL pipeline? I think I briefly mentioned this last week. So 1 week ago, of course, I'm in D.C. for the inauguration, cruising around Capitol Hill, you know, seeing what's going on, getting the mood, you know, what's happening out there. And it was such an honor to be in our nation's capital and on Capitol Hill while President Trump was being sworn in right across the street from us, and to watch it with a whole crew of Montanans. Tuesday morning, I did a full four-hour show from Congressman Ryan Zinke's office in the Cannon House office building. And so later that day, you know, we hung out at Zinke's office, said hi to some friends. I was going to go cruise over to the Senate side, but just got too busy before I had to take off for the flight to Vegas. But anyway, there was a bunch of people, you know, Congressman Zinke was giving a bunch of tours to Montanans and a few other folks. And then there were other people that are just dropping by the office to try to, you know, catch the ear of the folks in the room, et cetera. There were a couple of guys, I gave them my business card and said, hey, if you guys want to talk more about this, we would love to hear more about efforts in Canada to restart the Keystone XL pipeline. Sean Hannity, big time Sean Hannity, he sent out a tweet, when was this? About 3 days ago. All of a sudden, Canada wants to help Trump restart the Keystone pipeline. Now, President Trump already said that he will, you know, basically, you know, on day one, work to get the Keystone pipeline, or at least allow the Keystone pipeline to get up and running. And, you know, at the time I said, this is great. It's great he's doing it. But will anybody in Canada still try to get the Keystone pipeline up and running? Because, you know, after all the games that the Democrats played with that over the last 10 years or so, why would they even try? But now, and the report that Sean Hannity was sharing was a report from Sarah Carter. Sarah Carter is a great investigative reporter. She's joined Hannity on his show several times. She was the one that came to Montana and did a big report about how the Chinese were spying on our military bases and more. But yeah, she's got this report. Alberta Premier Danielle Smith aims to revive discussions about cross-border oil pipeline projects, specifically targeting collaboration with the Trump administration. She expressed interest in exploring new pipeline routes or modifying existing ones to support Alberta's goal of doubling oil and gas production. Smith suggests potential projects like a Keystone 2.0 and plans to engage with U.S. officials once the Interior Secretary, that's of course Doug Burgum out of North Dakota, is sworn in. The Keystone XL pipeline, originally approved by Trump in 2017 and canceled by Biden in 2021, represents the backdrop of these potential negotiations. Key supporters, Sarah Carter writes, key supporters like Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson and former Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke view pipeline expansion as crucial for U.S. energy security and economic development. They argue that pipelines from Alberta are essential for supplying heavy crude oil used in industrial applications. So, yes, SarahCarter.com has that report. Or if you go to x.com/AaronFlint, you'll eventually see that one. KJJR Radio is how I spotted that tweet. KJJR Radio out of Kalispell calling it good news for Northeast Montana. Okay, what do we talk about next? Why don't you tell us? You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can call in right now, 406-294-0970. We've got the phone lines open for most of the rest of the morning. One new feature we're going to have every Monday around 8:20 in the morning, we're going to do a legislative update from our friends at Americans for Prosperity Montana. So So that'll be a nice new addition to the Monday morning lineup here for the show. Just one more way for us to stay on top of all of the news that's coming out of Helena during this fast-moving legislative session. All right, let's see. Back to it here. Obviously, the big news here. The big news is over the weekend. I mean, what is it? There's so many different things. I mean, Colombia tried to mess around with Donald J. Trump, and they tried to mess around with America. Their socialist president turning around the aircraft that were carrying the illegal aliens back to Colombia after an agreement had already been reached that they would accept these flights of illegal aliens. Well, as Scott Jennings pointed out on CNN over the weekend, Colombia effed around and found out, didn't they? And, well, let me play the clip for you. I played this in the 6 o'clock hour, but it's such a good one. Let's play it again.
The reason Donald Trump had to resort to these tariffs and sanctions and punishments today is because the president of Colombia refused to accept a flight of migrants. He said he wouldn't take them. Donald Trump said, we're going to enter the F around and find out portion of this conversation. And he hit him with sanctions and tariffs. And now tonight, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, says Congress is going to back him up on that. He's putting Colombia, he's putting the rest of this hemisphere on notice that you are not dealing with the same president that you were. You're dealing with someone who is taking illegal immigration seriously. Now, within an hour of making that threat, the president of Colombia said, whoa, 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 I'll send my own plane to pick these people up. So obviously, he got their attention. And they'll have learned a valuable lesson that Donald Trump is taking immigration, illegal immigration, seriously. This is real leadership, but it sends a message to everybody else in the hemisphere. Do not test us. This is not Biden and Harris. This is Trump and Vance. We mean business.
And meanwhile, nearly 1,000 illegal aliens have already been rounded up across the country, including an incredible raid by the DEA and some other agencies down in Colorado on Sunday. So the violent Venezuelan prison gang known as Tren de Aragua has been wreaking so much havoc in Colorado, even though the Democrats were downplaying it and providing cover for TDA the entire time. Big raid and great photographs. The coronas were still on ice in the beer buckets. That's how quickly and how smoothly this raid reportedly went, according to the DEA Rocky Mountain Field Division, that the coronas were still on ice. And they rounded up a whole bunch of illegal aliens.
DEA is reporting TDA activity across the Denver metro area. Dozens of people in handcuffs at a makeshift nightclub. The DEA says about 50 people who were in the country illegally were taken into custody, many connected to TDA. Those in custody could be seen bussed away from the location with crime tape, beer bottles, and broken windows left behind.
Less than a week. So much winning.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
Fox News commentary.
Oscar nominations are in, and one of the nominees for Best Actress is a biological male. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. 35 years on Wall Street taught me how to successfully invest in the stock market. In my 4-part series, I'm going to teach you too. Some of Fox Business's finest join me to help tell my story, impart crucial lessons from my Unstoppable Prosperity book, and give you the tools to achieve your own financial dreams.
Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Thanks to President Trump, DEI is dead in government and on its way out in much of the private sector, that is, except for Hollywood. The Oscar nominations are in, and Carla Sofia Gascon has received a nod for Best Actress for her performance in the Netflix film Emilia Perez. There's just one little problem. Carla Sofia Gascon happens to be born male. And while the Academy and wokesters and entertainment media are hailing this nomination as historic, inclusive, and revolutionary, in reality, it's another accolade ripped from women and handed to men. The message message from the Academy here really seems to be the best women are men. While I feel for the female actresses who lost out, they made their own bed by going along with this gender insanity and delusion. The snake is eating its own tail, and it's actually quite a magical thing to behold. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at rkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will stay up in the mid-30s across the Bozeman area to around 40 in the Billings vicinity. For tonight, with clear skies, temperatures falling off in the mid-teens in Bozeman, low 20s in Billings. And then the outlook for Tuesday calls for more sunshine, with high temperature readings from the upper 30s to the mid-40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to
DUSA.com or CVS.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Just a quick few minutes left this hour of the show. Let me see. I know we had some more audio from X, some Tom Homan audio and more. Let's see. I'm not seeing that in my audio folder, but that's all right because we got a whole another 2 hours to go here after this. So plenty of time to get to that and more. Let's see. Here we go. All right. Let's see. We've talked a lot. Man, if you missed it, in the 6 o'clock hour, we did a deep dive on the Columbia situation. We also talked more about that DEA raid against Trende Aragua down in Colorado. Absolutely incredible news. But, yeah, Pete Hegseth confirmed as Secretary of Defense on Friday night. That was incredible to see. The E-4 Mafia. You know, J.D. Vance, who was an E-4 enlisted guy in the Marine Corps, breaking the tie vote and getting the O4, Major Pete Hegseth across the finish line. So the E4 Mafia carrying the O4 across the finish line. Pete Hegseth already on the job at the Department of Defense this morning. In fact, I just saw Christina Wong, the Breitbart News national security correspondent, just shared his first message speaking to the press this morning. And then, of course, big news as well, as Peter Ducey reports for Fox News. Big news when it comes to the troops who were kicked to the curb over that stupid COVID shot.
We can exclusively report on this White House document that lays out the details of an executive order President Trump is expected to sign today. And the plan is for him to sign this executive order to reinstate service members who were dismissed for refusing the COVID vaccine with full back pay and benefits. More than 8,000 servicemen and women were discharged between 2021 and 2023 because they refused to get vaccinated against COVID. And then once the military's mandate was repealed in 2023, only 43 people actually tried to go back.
Yeah, and I think, look, I don't know how many will come back even now, even with the back pay and more. Many of them have already got new jobs, new lives, new careers, everything like that. But I do think we are going to see a big surge in recruitment and retention now, not only with President Trump as commander-in-chief, but also with Pete Hegseth as Secretary of Defense, a team that will put the warfighters first and end all this woke nonsense. Pete Hegseth had a great tweet about 24 hours ago with regard to DEI. In fact, he sent out a memo on Secretary of Defense letterhead, handwritten, DOD does not equal DEI. No exceptions, name changes, or delays. Those who do not comply will no longer work here. And then he signed it, SecDef 29. Yeah, the president's guidance is clear. No more DEI at the Department of Defense. The Pentagon will comply immediately. No exceptions, name changes, or delays. What a great, powerful tweet from the Secretary of Defense. Hey, how many of you are losing a lot of money on your energy bills right now because of the cold weather? Have you examined your bill yet? Well, you're going to want to upgrade to some energy-efficient triple-pane windows. That's what they've got for you right now at YHIC, your home improvement company. They've got an unbeatable deal. You can buy two windows and get two free. Yes, free. It's a deal you do not want to miss. Plus, what about your bathroom? You can transform your space with up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation, whether it's windows, bathrooms, or both. This is a limited time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat that. Buy two windows, get two free, or get up to 30% off a bathroom remodel. Call 406-948-2836 right now. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. YHIC, your home improvement company.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Tariffs were used extensively when our country was young, when British manufactured goods dominated markets. There's little precedent for a modern, industrialized, large economy imposing tariffs on the scale envisioned by the Trump campaign. But the first Trump administration did raise tariffs, and the results were surprising to some. Appliance manufacturer Whirlpool's expectation that tariffs on imported washing machines will help its profits grow were dashed when they realized that those same tariffs pushed up prices for the steel they used at their domestic plants. It's the unintended consequences of tariffs, most of which are perfectly predictable, that have made a generation of economists stand firmly against their use. The fact that they lead to retaliation from those whose exports are affected. The fact that they're often passed along as price increases to consumers. The fact that they allow laggard, inefficient companies to remain in business when competition might have forced them to improve. Shall we learn those lessons again? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.